Well, let's pray. Lord, thank you for today, for a place to meet, for our freedom, for the truth of your word. Just remind us what you expect from us out of our lives. Father, thank you for the food we had. We ask you just that we would do things that would honor you and help us pay attention to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, it's good to see you. A lot of people have quit showing up for church across America, but it's good to see you. That you care enough about your spiritual life. Hopefully there's something good can come out of that. And we're going back through, starting back in Revelation today, after 3 weeks break during the resurrection. We're in chapter 2, starting with verse 8, with the church at Smyrna. And it is amazing the contrast that starts here and goes all the way through the book of Revelation. If you want to do this, if you don't do this, the opposite of this. And, you know, it's amazing how parallel even today's situation in the church at Smyrna is where we are in America, in church. So we're going to look at that quickly. Danny put some notes up on it. We always have a few more than what we have time to cover, but we're going to be fast as we can. But every time that he writes, he's always referring to one of the churches and something that he initially said at the beginning of the book. And he'll do that again today. He said, to the angel of the church at Smyrna, write, these are the words of him who was the first and the last who died and came to life again. I know your afflictions and your poverty. You know, there's only two churches out of the seven that he writes that he doesn't have something negative that he's trying to correct. Only two of them didn't have problems. And those two had a lot of persecutions going on in their life. It's kind of amazing how that's going together. That, you know, the ones who are suffering persecution are the ones that are evidently doing something in a way that they suffer persecution, but he doesn't correct it. He doesn't have anything to correct. The other five, he does. Yet you are rich. I know the slander of the Jews who say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of what you're about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. You know, 10 days, it doesn't mean literally 10 days. As we'll see throughout the book of Revelation, there's so much symbolism, there's so much metaphorical that he says and analogies. We have to go back to the Old Testament, try to find some of them. It just means an extended period of time. It doesn't mean just 10 days, all right? I know you say, well, we're supposed to take everything literal. When you look at apocalyptic material, especially when you go back and look at what was written, like Esdras and some of the Jewish writings, when they write in this apocalyptic style, it's not uncommon. There's so much metaphors, there's so much symbolism that it's not just literal. And you have to understand that or you'll say, you'll never figure that out. And some of it we won't figure out, but it doesn't mean just 10 days, all right? But be faithful. This is the key. Even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. You know, that is the main thing that he's dealing with this church. You're going to suffer persecution, and it's kind of funny because the persecution is coming from the devil, but the devil uses the Jews to do it. And that's what he says. He said, you know, and we shouldn't be surprised when the devil uses our government to persecute us. You know, we shouldn't be surprised when the devil uses church sometimes to persecute us. He says, that's one of the things we'll see in the end. You know, you're going to be persecuted. And remember what he says? He says, the Jews who really are not Jews, but they are the synagogue of Satan. And Jesus in 9 and 10, verse 9 and 10, he uses both of those phrases. He says, oh yeah, it is the devil is doing it and the Jews are being used by him to do it. We always can look around and say, okay, be careful when something happens. Paul talked about it constantly. What did he say? He said, we do not fight what? Flesh and blood, but what? Principalities behind that flesh and blood. You know, and that's exactly what's going on here. He who has an ear, let him hear. That means pay attention, try to understand. There's a lot of people who hear things, they don't have an understanding of what it means, don't want to understand what it means. What the Spirit says to the church is, he who overcomes will not be heard at the second death. That's kind of an amazing thing. You know, we should not be afraid of dying. If you are, you need to fix that, you know, because everybody's going to die. He says, don't be afraid of dying. Dying physically is not the worst thing that can happen to you. dying the second death is the worst thing that can happen to you. And that'll come unfolded and later on in Revelation. But it literally means whenever that death is cast out, it means death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire that will last forever and ever. That is the second death. He said, you don't want to go there. You know, that's exactly what that is. We'll see it again. Both are the churches about which nothing negative is said, or churches that are suffering persecution. Both of them. We'll see that out of those. In each case, they were involved in some minor way in its own situation. You know, we live in an environment where we're affected by the environment, and that's exactly what was going on in them. Part of our culture and our history and our heritage is always tied up in the church, in the way things happen, but we need to be careful and be responsible to understand what is the culture's doing that we can help with and encourage, and what we need to be able to see and stay away from. Meredith is, she goes to several of the religious groups on campus when she can. She's mainly involved with the Baptist one, the BCM, but she goes to the Reform one, and she goes to the Methodist one and the other one sometimes, and she's gone to all of them a little bit, but this is what she's seen. This is her own evaluation. You know, she says one of them is pretty strictly with the Scripture, and the other two, they stay with the Scripture, but they're doing some things on the periphery that is not godly. And they think they're doing it, and they try to help these people get in. She said, but it's not helping at all. Tolerate stuff. That's exactly what this means. We need to be able to look and understand and say, can we encourage this? Can we help this? Or can we need to stay away from it? That's our responsibility. And that's exactly what's going on. We'll see in the situation at Smyrna what the city was doing, what the Roman government was doing, that they had to say, oh, no, we can't do that. We can't worship the emperor. We can't bow down to the emperor. And it was the going thing for them. What was that? It was a city. If you look at the map, remember it's on the postal route. Last week was the first one, and you go around the route. This one's next, about 40 miles from Ephesus. These cities were, if you were lucky, you were able to have a shrine built up for one of the Roman emperors. And people worshipped them. And that's exactly what was going on. It was a seat of emperor worship over several times over the years. It had won that privilege. Everybody couldn't do that. It'd be like, what city is good enough in the state of Georgia to have the state volleyball team or basketball team or football team? Isn't that right? Everybody battles for that, right? That's exactly what we're talking about here. Same thing. And they were able to do that. I mean, they could do that. It was destroyed. And, you know, when you look at that, you say, okay, if anybody could understand what it means to be destroyed and yet be able to come back and not die, the church at Smyrna would, because they know Jesus had gone through the same thing. Because he says later, he says, I know. I know what it is to be persecuted. I know what it is to die. I relate to that. So they would have known it, and that's exactly what they were. They had died and come back to life, basically. Jesus said, I'm the first in the life. I died. I came back. And he's relating to them as he does to us. One suspects that they would have known that in their poverty. And we're going to see why they were in poverty. And slander and overt persecution. Sometimes they've wondered, are we going to make it? Are we going to be destroyed? Are we going to make it? And Jesus said, no, you can. I know your poverty. You're in poverty. I know you're being persecuted, but you can make it because I made it. And I'm the one behind you. He introduces himself as that. I'm sovereign. I'm the first. I'm the last. I face all this. I get through it. To reassure us that we can get through it. That's what he does. If anybody should be able to figure that out, if they're remembering what Jesus did, they can say, he's got us. But we don't know what it is to be in the middle of persecution where you're about to be killed. You know how that happens. You know, why did that dog bite Dennis? Fires going on, sirens going on, police going on. He probably wasn't acting his normal self. You know, circumstances. Sometimes we say, well, it really is all right. Maybe it ain't all right. They should have known that. We should know that. Now, quickly, how does this work? And this affects every one of the situations that we look at in the churches, because that was what was going in the Roman government. Caesar, after he died, the Senate said, you know, he's like a god. So we're going to give him that position. He was a god. So what happens is you start to have emperor worship because he is seen as God. And we have this guy came up in 37, 41. He was a nutcase. They had a a special, I don't know, several years ago in PBS, and it showed pretty much how this guy was a nut. Well, before he died, he said, "I'm a God." But like some of our evangelists on television, they're God, ain't they? Well, because he's still in control of the army, the Senate couldn't argue with him. So they said, "Okay." And he said, "Not only me, but my horse is a God too." That's like every day's a Friday. You know, you just say it. That's the way it goes. So this is what you have, this kind of situation. And now, if you're going to be allegiant to Rome, you got to worship the emperor. And the way you worship him is, and that's what we're going to see real quick. It had a way. You remember in the Old Testament, whenever Assyria or the Babylonians would take over Israel, they would take the main people out of their homeland and send them away. And they would try, because they understood people in the land, people with their religion, people with that concept still would rebel. So they broke that up by doing what they did. But Romans said, "Oh, wait a minute, you're messing up the tax base," right? You take all the good people out and send them over there where nothing's happening. How are we going to get taxes from them? So this is what they did. They had what they called a God swap. So when they would take over the land, they wouldn't ship everybody out. They would say, "Okay, we're going to worship some of your gods, and you're going to worship some of our gods. So we're going to put our gods beside your gods. So now everybody's worshiping gods. So surely if they're worshiping their god beside the Roman god, they're not going to try to overthrow Rome." Pretty sensible deal. And that's exactly what they were doing. So that's exactly what was happening there. All right? And that's how they did it. That's why it was working. From the Roman perspective, the Jews were such an obstruction of people. Because they said, "Oh, no, we're not going to..." They said, "Well, who is your God?" And they said, "Well, you can't see him." So, you know, they said, "Well, how?" So they realized the Jews were not going to worship the emperor, and they couldn't swap gods with the Jews because the Jews didn't have a God you could see. So basically they said they must be atheists because they don't believe in a God that they can see. You remember Abraham and the Chosen? Not Abraham, Jacob and the Chosen? He goes to the new land about to dig the well, and the man said, "Who's your God?" He said, "Well, you can't see him." "Where is he?" "Well, he's everywhere." "How is he?" "Well, he broke my leg." Remember that? And that guy looked at him and said, "That's a strange God." That's exactly what the Romans thought. They said, so they pretty much let them go. They said, "Okay, because of that, we're going to not make you worship the emperor because we can't put your God in our place because you said you can't see him." So that's kind of the way that ended up. So that's exactly why in the early days the Jews were not mandated to worship Caesar or pay a homage to him one day a year. And that's what the number, that's what the common thing was. So they were an exception. And that's exactly what it was. But we'll see how it comes undone whenever the Christians who are under the Jewish umbrella, when the Jews get mad with them because so many Gentiles are getting saved and they don't like them, so they start telling the Romans, "They're not Jews. They're Christians. They're not like us." So they kind of, that's why he, well, let me don't get ahead of myself, all right? This is what they started doing, slandering. As long as the Christians were perceived to be a subset of Jews because they were Jews, the Romans didn't have any problem with it, all right? Even though they didn't make them offer Caesar tribute, okay? That's what the deal was. The minor religious worship of the emperor to Roman was a question of fidelity and loyalty, but they excused the Jews for it. Just because they said, "Man, these guys aren't, they're not going to do it." That's exactly how it happened, all right? But when you read the book of Acts, who were the Christians' greatest adversaries? Jews. It wasn't the Gentiles. It was the Jews. Everywhere Paul goes and he tries to do something, what happens? The Jews cause the problem. That was exactly what it was. That's who it was. It was in-house stuff. All the earliest persecutions of Christians were inside. You know, some of the greatest adversaries to the church are people in the church, unfortunately. I mean, that's exactly the way it was. It still is that way. As the Christians became more numerous and more Gentiles came into it, the Jews said, "Whoa, wait a minute, this ain't going to work. Number one, we don't agree with them. We don't believe the Messiah. We don't think he's the right one. Now all these Gentiles are coming in. Y'all going to mess up the whole system, so we got to do something about it. You know, you're not like us, so we ain't going to let more of y'all keep coming in." You ever been in a church like that? "Well, they're not like us, so you're really not welcome. We've been there before, some of us." As they became numerous, that's exactly what happened. So the easiest way the Jews had to do this is to go to the Romans and say, you know, these people are not paying, they're not giving homage to emperor, but they're really not Jews. They're getting one over on you. So that's what they do. They slander them. That's exactly what Jesus said in the verse. He said, they're persecuting you by slander. They're attacking you. That's where they're doing it. So what happens? Rome says, well, okay then. We'll have to fix that. So now they're going to start persecuting the Christian Jews and the Gentile Jews in Smyrna. That's how that is. So it came in the conflict. Why? Because they disagreed. Verse 9 says this. Jesus says what? I know your tribulation and your poverty. We'll talk about that in a minute, why they might be in poverty, and the blasphemy, slander. You all ever been slandered? In black and white? It's not a nice deal. It isn't. By those who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. This is Jesus. This is Jesus talking, right? The Jewish synagogue was speaking the things about the Christians that they saw. They're slandering us. That's not true. That's what slander is, right? You say something about somebody, but it's not true. But it tries to cause problems. That's exactly what they were doing. It was probably in the form of official documents where they'd say, you know, here are these Jews. They say they're part of us, but they're Christians over here. So this is to verify that they're not in our synagogue. We're not even going to let them in anymore. Which was, they said, this is what they're doing. They put another king but Caesar. True. But what? They're rebellious and dangerous. False. They were not. Paul already, he said what? As much as you can, be an obedient citizen, pay your taxes, but don't bow down to Caesar. Basically, that was his guideline. They did not have the right to punish the Christians, so they had to find an avenue. They got to find some way to get their will done. So that's exactly what they're doing. So what better way than do it through the government? We see that now, don't we? We'll see it in just a minute, quickly. When he planted that church in Thessalonica, who stirred up the trouble? Jews. Jews. Oh, you're not like us. So that's what you have going on. And this is going throughout the whole term of the churches that he's writing. Every one of them is in the Roman scene where this is going on. Emperor worship is all over the place. You know, it doesn't really break down until Constantine comes along and so-called makes Christian official religion, which was one of the worst things ever in church history because now, well, that's another lesson. They said, oh, Jesus is our king, but they still were good citizens. Imprisonments and death. That's probably that half-truth, you know. All you need is somebody just to think you cause a riot. And what will they do? Sue you to the max. Y'all see where Biden and his illustrious group, they've charging this 71-year-old grandmother who was in the White House Capitol, or the Capitol there during all that for 10 minutes. 71 years old. Oh, she's causing a riot. She said, I came to pray for the country and our yeah, y'all see that? Going to bail. $100,000 fine is what they're putting on her. What about that? That's what we're talking about. Oh, well, he's guilty. There's nobody, you know, whether you agree with Trump or not, it doesn't really matter. When you look at that farce, what is going on there? You know? Y'all see the latest thing? The lady judge who really came down on the DOJ because they've got one of Trump's guys in prison who was guilty for the same thing that Hunter's going free from, going to a subpoena. Y'all see that? And she said, y'all are running a double thing here. You got one man in jail for the same thing, you're letting Hunter run around for doing the same thing. Kind of the same thing here. Why? They said, oh, these people are bad. They haven't done anything bad. But they say they're bad. Slander. The result of the charges were some were being put in prison and some would be killed. We're not there yet. We may see it in our lifetime. It goes on every day in parts of the world, in Africa, in the Middle East. People are killed because of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. You know, Muslims kill them left and right because you don't serve God. Kind of that's what's going on here, right? The Jews said, you're not like us, so we're going to turn you over to the Romans and get rid of you. He says the Jews act this way, who slander and thus deceive like Satan. What did Jesus say? You are of your father, the devil, who is the father of what? Lies. What is the truth? You know? They follow Satan's temptation to lie and destroy. In verse 10, he says that, look at this, what Jesus says now. He says, it is the devil that is going to throw the Christians in prison. Is the devil there doing it? No. Who's doing it? The Jews are doing it. So the devil is behind the Jews doing it. That's why he calls it the synagogue of Satan. The devil is about to cast some of you in prison. The devil's not on the scene. This was the same thing Jesus said when he said those who rejected him. That's exactly the same thing when he said that. You're of your father, the devil. And the works of him you're going to do. What connects 9 and 10 is this. To a synagogue of Satan who are slandering the Christians, telling lies against them. In verse 10, he refers to the devil throwing some of them in prison. The natural understanding of that is what? The devil is behind the Jews doing the stuff. You know, that's why when somebody treats you bad, even your government, you know, just remember what is behind that. They're servants of the devil. I mean, basically, that's just it. Oh, now that's, boy, that's bad talk now, right? We get arrested for that now, right? Calling Jews synagogue of Satan. Calling our president and the group a tyrannist. Is that a word, tyrannist? Sounds good. You know, those who act those who commit tyranny, which is what we see going on right now, by the way. By stirring up the slander against those, Jesus says, you're the synagogue of Satan. That's what it is. And the reason he calls them that is why? Because Satan has influenced what they do. How much does Satan influence what you do? Huh? How much? Quite often, I'm afraid, if we're honest. Because God sure ain't wanting us doing some of the stuff we do. They do his work slandering the Christians effectively so the Romans start to persecute them. That's what the aim is. That's what they want to do. The Jewish synagogue linked with the local Roman government started pressuring the Christians. That's exactly what's going on. That's what he says. A number of these towns where these churches were under this type of worship. Now, if you can think about it for a minute, if the city is being able to have one of these emperor worship systems there where everybody comes to that city to worship, and you have to pay homage to that, if you don't do that, you're seen as anti-loyal. So what happens is you have guilds or labor unions, and if you're not going to be the one to support the emperor, we won't let you buy and sell. You won't get a job. That's why they're in poverty. Because you're not being supportive, and we want our union to support the emperor, so if you're not going to do it, we're not going to let you work. You see how important that was? Same thing. That's exactly what's going on. So what happens? The people are in poverty, and they're starving out. Because what? Because the emperor worship in that town is like the stadium. Are you going to speak against the stadium? Well, we ain't going to have it. What happened a few years ago when what's-her-face didn't want some kind of ball game to go to Atlanta? I can't remember. I'm not a ball fan. What was it? Okay, yeah. Well, she should have been seen as bad. Why? Because that's the heart of the city, right? You see what it would do? That's exactly what he's saying. You're in poverty because you don't give in. Well, I got to go along to get along. He said, no, no, no. Be faithful even if it kills you. That's what he said. That's the verse we read, right? He said, be faithful even unto death, and you will inherit the crown of life. Boy, that's a whole nother game. Huh. For a city that has a part of its heritage built up that way, everything's centered around that. And if you don't support it, you're taken away from our city, so we're not going to let you take part. You know, I know someone, I won't call any names, and I won't call the city, but it's not far from here, who this guy went to their Chamber of Commerce, and just they had this meeting where everybody does their business stuff, you know, and you put it out there if the Chamber supports it or whatever. And they found out he was not from that town, but just another town only 10 miles away. They said, we don't want you here. We don't want to do any business with anybody outside of our town. So he said, okay. And he left. That's kind of what we're talking about. You're not going to support the emperor. You won't get any jobs from us. So they're in poverty. Well, Jesus don't want me to starve. Sometimes he does. He says, be faithful. It may cost you. Be faithful. That's what he says. So Christians trying to be good citizens, doing what Paul says and going along with that, trying to keep peace. And yet you come up to this part where if you're not going to offer tribute to the emperor, you don't get it. So what's going to happen? You're done. You know, that's exactly what it is. That's the kind of thing that they were going through. That's why there were some of them in poverty. Why? Because they wouldn't go along. We do a lot of that, don't we? Oh, well, Jesus don't want me to say anything that call in a reproach on his name. If you're telling the truth, it's okay. He said, tell the truth, be faithful. Don't go along under the dominion, the domination of Satan. That kind of talk would get you arrested today. Well, it would before Palestine grew stronger and more impressive than Israel. You know, it was a day when you said anything against a Jewish person, they would call you anti-Semitic. You shouldn't be anti-Semitic. You shouldn't be anti-Palestine. You just tell the truth. Did they do something wrong? Yes. Should they be penalized? Absolutely. In the game. If we said that the Jews were of the synagogue of Satan today, this is what they would accuse us of. Anti-Semitics. Oh, you're against them. Were they hated? Against the rest of them? No. Did they hate them? No. Because Jesus aimed to stir up persecution, that's why he said it? No. It was because he was trying to ridicule the Jews? No. Why did he do it? Because it was the truth. That's why he did it. If Jesus is the Messiah, if he's the Son of God, and there's a greater enemy, a deceiver called Satan, somebody needs to say it. Joel Osteen is a demon. Somebody needs to say it, if that is the case. Oh, we can't say that. That would be unreligious. Is it the truth? I'm not saying he is a demon. He might be. I don't know. I know he's worldly and materialistic, but he might not be a demon. But you understand what I'm saying, right? You get the picture? Well, Terry called him a demon. Well, he might be one. There's probably some in here. You know, absolutely. I've known some live demons, people that were controlled by demons. I know that. Oh, that doesn't happen? Boy, you already done then if you don't think that's a possibility. And the Jewish people turned like Satan against the Messiah. Somebody's got to say something. Now everybody wants, that's what Meredith said. These people don't even realize what they're doing on the periphery is not helping these young people understand the truth. They're wavering over here on the outside where they don't need to be. That's exactly what he says here. Oh, no, no, no. You can't just start giving in. Well, Jesus don't want me to cause any trouble. Sometimes he does. You know, not just be obnoxious, but are you telling the truth? These accusations from the government, probably it's what was persecuting them. Absolutely. Now, we got to hurry on to the end, all right? you can read this in history lesson if you want to. It was absolutely a situation where, man, their world centered around the emperor worship in their town, so they wanted everything to go along with it. Boy, look at this one. We have evidence from Ephesus that some of the city officials were so dedicated to the cult that they would give money out of the city to give the people to offer the cult. Boy, what does that sound like? Free phone cards for people to come across? Does that sound like that? Restroom in the boat before they even get inside the United States? Boy, there are all kind of parallels here to where we are. Nobody wants to see it. Nobody wants to admit it. This is the way it is. To pay for sacrifices. Oh, we can't let this thing go down. We got to support it. A city's public life without having a part in the aspect of the imperial cult. Man, you were doomed. You were in poverty. He said that. Now, let's hurry on to the end. The best part. Where is it? This is when he's talking about, you know, whenever he said, you know, Isaac and Ishmael, and he said, oh, no, no, the chosen seed can never come from Isaac. He's not the promise. From Ishmael, it has to come through Isaac. Is Ishmael's people Jews? Yes. Are they the promised seed? No. He said, there are some Jews that are blood Jews that they're not full Jews because they don't believe in the Messiah. That's exactly where he goes in this. That's exactly the meaning that he's talking about when you read the whole thing. For us, well, I want to know how it affects me. We're about to look at that. This is exactly where we live. If you're not only watching CNN, if that's all you watch, you're not going to see anything. Why? Because if you don't understand how biased the media is, you're not paying attention at all. I'm telling you, you want the truth, you got to look all over the place. And sometimes it's not there, right? Hello? That's exactly right. The opponents of Christianity are going to oppose us, not by saying that we're wrong, but by saying we're evil.
Oh, Donald Trump is evil. He's dangerous.
And everybody who votes for him is a what? A deplorable. They don't know me. You see what I'm talking about? Is this real or not? It's exactly where we are. They didn't attack them by saying, they just said, oh, these Jews that are Christians, they're dangerous against the country. They're dangerous against the Roman Empire. They're evil. You need to do something. That's exactly what happens. I mean, that's what it is, right? We're anti-Semitic, we're anti-choice, we're anti-woman, we're anti-gay, we're anti-intellectual, we're anti-tolerance and anti-diversity. Why? Because we don't agree with you. There used to be a day when it was okay not to agree with somebody and you could have a conversation about it. Now what is it? You disagree, you're automatically off the grid. We can't even tolerate you. You got to be just like us. You know? That's why the media controls everything that goes out there. Y'all see that thing this week? It rose up. What was the girl's name who was an interviewer for ESPN? Y'all see that? And when she interviewed Biden back in, what, 21? How she said, now she comes out and says it, everything I said and asked was scripted. They said, you cannot go away from this one thing. You have to do exactly what we tell you. Why? Because they got to make him look good. I mean, that's it. She came out and said it. You can read it. It's black and white. She said, oh, yeah, that's the way it was. I guess they had her for so long you couldn't say anything. She said, that's the way it is. That's why he's... Okay, I'm not going to be political. You already are. No, I'm just telling you the way things are going. Right? You don't have to agree with me. And they will do this in direct proportion to how public we are. You start talking about Jesus and they'll start persecuting you. You start saying, you know, this ain't right, and they'll start persecuting you. Hello? Yes, sir. Absolutely. What's happening today? Happening in Smyrna. Same thing. When a Christian goes really public in a pagan world, instead of showering down, say, well, Jesus don't want me to cause any conflict, so I can't say anything. No, you're a pansy. And I'm a pansy. He didn't tell them to do that. What he said, be faithful. Tell the truth. You can't worship Caesar. Tell him you can't worship Caesar, and you're not going to do that. You're going to work hard. You're going to pay your taxes, but you're not doing that. And when once we get out of our comfort zones and want to do something or say something, they won't label us as mistaken. They say, oh, they're evil. Isn't that what they're calling all anybody who's for Trump? Oh, he's evil. Democracy's down the tubes if he goes back in. Really? You know, you go back and you read the Constitution, our forefathers had enough understanding, and not all of them were Christians. They understood how wicked man was and how you could not give the populace the power. That's why we had the electoral vote, right? And now we're trying to do away with that, white. Because we can't control it if this works that way. You know, they had enough understanding to know that you give somebody complete power and guess what happens? Lord Byron said that, didn't he? No, what was his name? Was it Byron or... actor, what was his name? Who said that what? Absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. What do we have right now? That. That's exactly what's going on. That's how they're going to label us. That's how they did the people at Smyrna. Oh, they're evil. They're against the nation because they won't bow down and worship the emperor. That's exactly what was going on. Same thing. The tragic response of many Christians is that we just can't cause any conflict. We just got to go along with everybody. So that's what we do. That's why we don't have a lot of problems. That's why we're not persecuted. We don't do anything. The devil's not going to get us persecuted if we're on his side. We never say anything. He said, well, I don't have to worry about Terry. He's never going to tell anybody the truth. He's not going to hurt their feelings. Right? I don't hurt your feelings, do I? Hello? I don't try to hurt your feelings. That's not my intent. And to think they're doing God a favor by just being quiet and going along, getting along. I'll never forget old Last Man Standing, Tim Allen's, one of those episodes where, you know, he was supposed to give the speech at one of them's graduation. Y'all remember that? So he had to send in what he was going to say. Well, guess what? Oh, no, you have too many microaggressions in here. We're not going to let you say that. He said, then I'm not going to speak. I'll say what I want to say or I don't speak. Oh, you ain't, He said, I'm not going along to get along. That's exactly what it is. We just don't want to go through any headache. So we just let everything go. And think we're doing God a favor? He said, be faithful. That's not the way they responded. No. He said, what? Some of you are going to be cast in prison. And some will be tested to the point of death. You may lose your life. He said, be faithful. Stay with it. Stay with the truth. All brought by slander. You know, that's a funny thing, slander. It's not funny when you're going through it, though. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. That's what it says. The crown of life is you'll live forever in eternity with him. They're worse than they seem. Here's the thing we have to remember. Before we get so angry at people, we have to remember the devil is behind them doing what they're doing. Okay? You have to understand it. They had to understand the devil was behind the Jews doing it to them. That's why Jesus called them the synagogue of Satan. That's what Paul said. Our battle is what? Not flesh and blood. It's about the principles, the thinking of the people that's behind the people that causes that. You know, they're motivated by something. That's what's going on. He said, some of you are going to go to prison. Some of you are going to die. That's exactly what it means. But it could be worse. There's worse things than dying. The worst is dying and going to hell. And some of them are better than this thing. Look at these things real quick. He says, number one, I'm the first and the last. I'm sovereign. I'm in control. This whole thing's going to fall apart anyway one day, but I'm still in control. Well, isn't that good? I wake up a lot of mornings. I say, thank you, Jesus. When I look at the news and these headlines, I'm thinking, what in the world? If I didn't believe in Jesus, I'd probably be a drug addict or alcoholic or something. Because how do you face reality? If you're paying attention to see, this thing's going to implode here somehow or another. You know? How's it going to work? Because he's in control. That's what he's telling them. You may die. Christ died and has come to the life. He said, it's not the worst thing if you're going to die. Some of you think, yeah, it is. Well, you need to get right with Jesus. Because that's the only way you're going to fix that one. He knows our pain. He's talking, he said, I know what it is in poverty. I know what it is to be slandered. I know what it is to be killed. I'm not just talking about something I read about. He says, I've been there. You know? What is that idea? It is assurance to us, I know how you feel. I've been there. I relate, and I'm going to get you through it. That's what that means. You can count on him. That's exactly what it means. He's near us, and he knows. That's what he's telling the church at Smyrna. He's telling us, you're rich and in poverty, even in prison. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You know all this is going to be gone one day, right? One day a dollar bill is not going to be anything. You're not going to have a dollar. You know what that's about, right? They won't control you. Isn't it right? Hello? Oh, that ain't what it means. What else would it be then? I mean, that's what it is. I talked to somebody this morning. You know, I go get stuff every morning at Walmart, and I said, you know, it's kind of funny. We can still use dollars. And they looked at me like, yeah. I said, what are we going to do? I said, they understood. They were old enough to understand this is not good. Right. You shall inherit the earth, rich. If you're a child of God and you're one of his heirs, you inherit everything. And none of it's what you got now. The sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that is about to be revealed to us. We'll see that. Paul talked about that. You will receive a crown of life. Be faithful unto death. Wow. What's that going to be? We don't know. Everlasting life. We know what that means, right? When all of it's over. No more pain. No more this. No more that. A crown of life with Jesus. That's what he says. You will not be hurt by the second death. We'll get to that one in Revelation 20. What that means. That's why if you love somebody, you need to be honest with them and say, are you really ready to die? Because it's coming, you know. You just don't know when. You need to talk about it with your loved ones. And if whatever possible you can, share with them the gospel where they understand it. That it's not baptism or church membership or some ceremony, but it is trusting in the blood of Jesus. They need to clearly understand that. Because so much church is covered up, that's never talked about, unfortunately. We're going to make it. Do you know that, right? Even if we die, we're going to make it. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your truth. to the church at Smyrna that applies to us. Father, help us. Help us to count the cost. Help us to encourage one another as the times get even more difficult, that we'll be willing to stand, that we'll be willing to be faithful, even if it costs us our job or whatever. Help us encourage one another so that we'll stay with it and not quit, so that you'll be glorified and that you can use us to influence someone else. In Jesus' name, amen.